Hare Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, we read that Abrahma Bhavana Loka Punar Avatanorjana, that in this material world, there is inherent suffering everywhere and in everything. Because the eternal soul is seeking everlasting pleasure. The soul expects that and really can settle for nothing less. But when that immortal soul identifies itself in this, what Gita calls a yantra, a temporary machine of the physical body and the subtle mental body, we're thinking, this is me. And we're trying to attract people to this misconception. And we are becoming infatuated by other misconceptions in the form of things and people. And it's such an endless cycle. And all solutions to our problems without understanding this basic principle that we are all part and parcel of Krishna, of God, we are all eternal. Our real happiness is in the love between the Atma and the Paramatma, Krishna. Our solutions are like putting some wood in a fire. The fire is hungry. It's yearning for fuel. When you give it fuel, the fire temporarily goes down, but then it flares up as soon as that object is consumed. Prahlad Maharaj tells in the Bhagavatam that the solutions to the problems of this world, without reference to spiritual knowledge, the solutions in due course of time will create more complicated, difficult problems than the original problem. And this we find everywhere. It's nothing new. It's the very basis of suffering. We try to solve our problems by exasperating the problem with so-called solutions. In the chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam of Lord Brahma's prayers, there's that beautiful verse. It ends, padam padam yad vipadam natesham samashitaye padapalava plavam. That when one seeks shelter of the lotus feet of Murari, the name of Krishna is Murari, which means he's the killer of the Mura demon. And so oftentimes, devotees address Krishna in this way. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna was very confused and perplexed about everything that was happening around him, he was incredibly intelligent, talented, from such a high birth. But the Gita teaches us in this first chapter that whoever we are, whatever we know, we are going to be put into situations that are just beyond ourselves. It may be in the form of disease. It may be in the form of economic disaster. It may be in the form of broken relationships. And again, it's in the form of frustrated desires. And how we respond to that frustration. The demon of ignorance, forgetfulness of who we really are and what we really want, that cloud that blocks us from our true self-interest, is like a demon. And that mystical cloud of maya or illusion manifests many forms. Lust, incredible, insatiable passions for pleasure, for profit, adoration, distinction, or the physical experiences of life. Kama krodha, in Gita it explains that the sinful enemy for all of us is this selfish passion. Kama esha, krodha esha. When it's unfulfilled, we become angry. We make offenses. We act in ways that's just, if we have some decency, we regret it in the future. If we don't have proper decency, then we become so caught up in that anger, it just escalates and escalates into all kinds of other horrible deeds. Lust, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, illusion. These are the demons that are killing the propensity for loving service to the Lord within our hearts. They're all born of avidya, ignorance. So Krishna is Murari because he descends into this world to slay the demons. He slayed so many big demons like Aristasura, Vatsasura, Bakasura, Shishupal, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kundakarma. But the reason he kills all these gigantic demons is not only for the purpose of giving facility for the people of this world to actually attain the real aspiration of their desires, but to give hope to all of us that whatever demons are in our hearts, if we turn to Krishna, Krishna can release us, can liberate us from the clutches of illusion. And these histories are full of messages. Because in each one of these avatars, the asuras that were causing so much illusion and corruption in the world were beyond anybody's ability to control. All of these demons that we just named, not only the sages or the rishis or the common people, but even the most powerful demigods could not stand before them. ultimately, the only solution was to totally humble themselves and cry out to Krishna. Murari. Hey, Murari. Please kill this demon within myself and make me an instrument of your love within this world rather than an instrument of Maya's envy, pride, and greed. That's essentially our choice. It's a choice that each and every one of us individually and personally must make. Do we want to be instruments of illusion? If we are going to be instruments of illusion, we have many choices within that realm. There's tamaguna, rajaguna, and sattvaguna. We could be instruments of illusion in the mode of ignorance, through intoxication and violence and envy. Or we could be instruments of illusion in the mode of passion, through greed and fruit of activities, trying to get more and more for myself. Or we could be instruments of illusion in the mode of goodness by trying to actually make this world a better place through philanthropy and charity and honesty and truthfulness, but no real conception of what is beyond death and what is the real needs of the soul. Or we could choose to be instruments of Krishna Kripa, Krishna's mercy within this world. Krishna has appeared within his name, Murari. And if we call out for Krishna's names with feeling, the same way the devas and the helpless people cried out when Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu was standing before them, then Krishna will liberate us from those demons within us and make us pure. Those who take shelter of Murari, even the fathomless ocean of complexities of this material existence, it's described to try to liberate oneself from the sufferings of this world is like trying to swim across an ocean. Now, a champion, great swimmer who has trained his body or her body in fitness may be able to go 10 or 20 or even 30 miles farther than you and me. But what difference does it make in the ocean? It's thousands of miles. And the Bhagavatam describes trying to cross this ocean with the help of other people who are covered by the cloud of illusion is like grabbing on to the tail of a dog who appears to be a really good swimmer to cross the ocean. It can give us the false hope. Look at this dog is really swimming good and I'm holding on and I'm not really endeavoring so hard. But you're both going to sink. Another example is trying to take shelter of the philosophies and the sciences and the people, however ornamented they are with degrees and with skills, and charisma. It's like trying to cross the ocean by boarding a boat made out of stone. Even if that stone boat has jewels on it and has flags of our nation sailing above it in the wind, still it's stone, it sinks. But if we just take shelter of Murari, then that vast ocean of material illusion is reduced in size to the quantity of water contained in a hoof print of a small calf. Not even a cow. The Srimad Bhagavatam says a calf. They're so little and tiny and small, and calf prints, when you see them, they're like little baby prints. Because Krishna tells us, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. He's the controller of material existence. Daivi Heshu Gunamai Mama Mayaduratyaya. If we surrender to Krishna, then what is impossible becomes possible. The time that we spend by our free will within this world is very much what does determine the nature of our surrender. Surrender is not just coming to Govardhan Hill, doing parikrama, getting a nice good cough and thinking I'm really purified, and then going back to wherever you live and wasting your life. Surrender is a moment-to-moment choice that we all have. And time's running out. Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days to live. And Prabhupada tells us he knew he had for sure 7 days. But there's not a single person in this whole planet Earth that knows for sure that we even have 1 day to live. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham. There's danger at every step. So we come to these holy places for many reasons. We come to realign our priorities in life. What is it that I really want? Who am I? What is the purpose of life? Sanatan Goswami inquired with these questions from Lord Chaitanya. People call me a scholar, and I believe them. I'm such a fool. But I don't know. Who am I? Why am I suffering? What is the purpose of life? Actual human life is to the extent we are living for the purpose of realizing the answers to these questions. And it is true that this world, whoever we are, it's very entangling. Even if you're trying to be nice, there's so many situations beyond our control that can make us really nasty people. Circumstances, anxieties, threats, fears, or just basically, apparently good people doing nothing about the real problems. Birth, old age, disease, and death. So it is one of the primary recommendations, or let us say principles, of every great religion, and we're especially speaking about the Vaishnava Dharma, to go to holy places of pilgrimage with holy people, to realign our priorities. And by Krishna's grace, when he really wants to reciprocate with sincere prayers, Or even if your prayers aren't so sincere, Krishna may reciprocate by somehow or other pushing you to become more sincere. Krishna gives us austerities. Those austerities should be welcome. Tapo divyam putraka yenapa. Human life is meant for tapasya, austerity. That means to be willing to endure and welcome and accept inconvenience, difficulty, or even suffering for the higher cause of self-realization. I remember when Srila Prabhupada came to the community I was living in 1976. He sat on his seat, and the first thing he said was, he just drove from the airport in a car. He said there was a sign on the way that there was road construction. And there was so much traffic jams because of the road construction. And there was a sign. Prabhupada noted everything from a very, very spiritual perspective. The sign said, temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience. And Prabhupada said, this is the illusion of this world. This is the promise, some temporary inconvenience for a permanent convenience. But actually, in the real sense, that's what spiritual life is for. We accept temporary inconveniences for the purpose of our sadhana, our seva, and it does create a permanent convenience. And then he said, without spiritual knowledge, what is the progress of human society? We judge progress by the evolution of human character. And the highest character is the character Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga of detachment from selfishness and egoism, knowledge of what is real and what is not real, and the fruit of knowledge and detachment is bhakti, where we act and utilize our body, mind, words, and everything in our facility for seva, for the loving service of the Lord. And then he said, the dog is running on four legs, and man and women are running on four wheels. What is the progress? Recently, I was invited to give a lecture at the Ford Motor Company at their international headquarters in Detroit, in America. And I was thinking of this example. After my lecture, some of them liked the lecture, I guess, so they took me on a tour to show me all the different things they were doing and how they're designing the new cars, and I had to sign a vow of secrecy. I can't tell you what I saw. What they're, for the next 10 years and 20 years, the new designs of the cars, and they were showing me how they work. And then they took me on this test drive where it was going 100 miles per hour, not kilometers. That's about 140 kilometers an hour. And every 3 seconds, he was changing lanes, like. And I was thinking, what am I doing in this guy? Came to give a lecture, but they wanted to reciprocate and make me happy, and I just said, all right. They took me in this test car, one of the fastest cars in the world, that's faster than the Ferrari, and he was, and I'm chanting Japa. I must say it was some of my more attentive rounds of japa. But unbelievable miles of machines and plants and all of this. And as I'm, you know, seeing it all, and all the billions and billions of dollars put into it, I was just thinking of Srila Prabhupada. What I was just sitting this far away from him when he said, just about 10 feet away, he said, man is running on four legs, man is running on four wheels, dogs on four legs. What is the difference? If only human beings would put so much effort and so much facility and so much brain power and body power and so much time into actually solving the real problems of life. Essentially, we go by our cars, we go by our, Prabhupada called them aeroplanes, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The mentality of the dog and the mentality of the human is, there's really no difference unless we're trying to find the experience of seva, of unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Lord, the actual solution to the problems of death. We come to holy places with holy people to remind us of this, to realign our priorities in life, which are inevitably going to be distracted wherever we are. What to speak of living in a house with a family, taking care of children, or children having to deal with parents and brothers and sisters, and then you have to get a job or you're going to school. So many distractions at every step. But if we have strong sadhana and strong association, we could keep that direction. We could keep that connection to Krishna. And coming to holy places really help us to do that. They all, coming to holy place also very much strengthens and revitalizes our faith. Because in the holiest of all holy places, Vrindavan, every single speck of dust, every leaf on every tree, every stone on the mountains or on the ground, the very air that we breathe, whatever is mixed in it, still, the basis of that, it has been absorbing Krishna's eternal lila and absorbing the meditation and the prema, the pure love of all the acharyas and all the saints and great souls over the thousands and thousands of years. And all we have to do is tune into that, and we can get immense benefit. We can get filled with grace. But it's very difficult to tune in to access that grace unless we're in very good association. Jagadananda Pandit, he got angry at Lord Chaitanya because he had a special relationship with the Lord. And he said, I want to go to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya said, you shouldn't go in an angry mood. I'm not angry. But he really wanted to go. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, and this is not just an instruction to Jagadananda Pandit, because Srila Prabhupada in the purport quotes from the acharyas, this is a general instruction for all of us, that we should go to a holy place like Vrindavan. Don't stay too long. Because the tendency is we get familiar with the residents there, we get familiar with the dham, we take things for granted. If we take things for granted, we take things to be very ordinary, and we could also make offenses. If we go to a holy place, we should stay in the association of saintly people who give us the vision of the holy dham. So when there are so many people coming together for this purpose, it's like a monsoon shower of blessing and opportunity for us. Whether we come with one or two or three people, or whether we come with 5 or 6,000 people, the idea is we're here for each other. Whatever contribution we make in our sincerity, in our prayer, in our enthusiasm to hear, enthusiasm to chant, enthusiasm to go to these places and pray and beg for mercy, enthusiasm to serve, then we're contributing to an incredible energy that uplifts ourselves and uplifts everyone else. And in that association, we are uplifted. Grateful. Our cooks, Gauranga Prabhu, Radha Ballabha Prabhu, and so many others. Yesterday we were discussing the pot washers. Today we'll say a little something about the cooks. The prasad speaks for itself. There's not that much I could say. But these devotees, they spend months planning the kitchen, planning the menus, planning the bhoga, planning the preparations before the yatra even begins. And what Bamsidhari, who set up all of these railway systems? Huh? Venudhari. Huh? Incredible. He's an engineer. Gauranga Prabhu is an IIT engineer. Radha Ballabha Prabhu is an IIT graduate engineer also. And their pot washer has a master's degree at IIT as an engineer. This is the hierarchy. Those who have bachelor's degrees are the cooks, and those who have master's degrees wash their pots for them. Now, for me, who only has one semester of a junior college, I'm fascinated by watching all this happen. And they're all coming to me for guidance. This is the logic of bhakti. And Govinda Prabhu, if he just glances upon any of them with dissatisfaction, they tremble. And Govinda Prabhu, did you ever go to college? Somewhere in Belgaum, he learned basic Marathi and all that stuff. But these cooks, Venudhari, yes, he spends so much of his energy creating a railway system. How many of you have seen the kitchen, the railway system they have? And these hoists, these special cranes that are handmade and designed just to lift and move pots, gigantic pots. I was thinking, you know, why be a weightlifter or a mystic yogi who can, you know, do all kinds of mysticism? All you need is this crane. This pot of sambar today, I was seeing, how many gallons is the pot when it's full? nobody wants to tell me. Loudly? ¥700 in one pot. So there's, it's a gigantic pot. And there's one little skinny guy just pulling a little chain. And factually, you know, any of our children could do it. They're just like, just pulling this chain and the pot's going. And then they just push it here and the pot goes. And they put it down here and then a couple people, one person just pushes it and it goes down the railway system. Incredible. So much thought, so much devotion, so much dedication. And to cook, what's like 7 or 8 preparations for 5,000 people every lunch? And that's in between breakfast and dinner? And yet when I go to the kitchen, they don't seem stressed out. They seem like they're just, you know, and the ladies from Belgaum, they're making rotis, 10,000 rotis a day. They're just cooking and they're singing and they're smiling and they're happy. And then they sometimes roti, sometimes dosas or other types of preparations. They're just happy serving. While everyone else is out on parikrama, going from place to place, they're just cooking, 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 all day, every day. They've come to serve. It's service to eat prasad. It's service to cook prasad. It's service to serve the prasad. Everything is service. It's just a matter of our consciousness. So we come to the holy places to become spiritually surcharged. And in the association of people who are eager to hear, eager to chant, not expecting things for me, but how I can be an instrument to inspire and make others happy and enlightened. That's how we make advancement. If we come to a yatra expecting, what am I going to get out of this? Expecting that I want this, I want that, I want this attention or that attention. We're missing the opportunity. We should come to serve, to be grateful that these people have been spending months preparing these menus and now all of that energy, all of that devotion, all of that surrender and sacrifices in every morsel of this food. Let me be grateful and honor this prasad to my full satisfaction. Now, if you think it's difficult to get resituated in your new rooms between Vrindavan and Govardhan, put yourself in the person who, in the team's position that for so many weeks and weeks and weeks had to arrange all these rooms. They start a year before. Where we're going next year for our Kartik Yatra, we have to start planning the rooms before the end of this yatra. Otherwise, it's too late. These people are working for a year. And what to speak of getting the buses and in India, whatever people in the West say about India's booming economy, the buses in India are still Indian buses. And the challenges are still the challenges that have always been. They're going through tremendous amount of any anxiety that you have comes upon them. So to just appreciate what so many people are trying to do, just to be grateful. we make great spiritual advancement. And not only that, when we're grateful, we become happy. Gratitude brews happiness. If we're ungrateful, we cannot be happy. Because an ungrateful heart is always expecting something else, something that is according to my own egoistic conception of what should be. Gratitude is, I'm going to try my best to be an instrument to serve, to absorb myself in Krishna with a grateful heart. And then whatever may come, it's beautiful. Accept it as grace and flow at the current of that grace to Karuna Sindhu, to Krishna, who is an unlimited ocean of love, kindness, and mercy. For many years, Shamdasji, Hare Krishna, Jaisi, Mohanji, for many years, it has been a dream to base our yatra at Govardhan. In Vrindavan, there are so many places, and that's very, very difficult to organize accommodations and a pandal and cooking arrangements and kitchen and everything else. And then we had an idea a couple years ago, half the yatra we should do in Vrindavan and half at Govardhan. And the immediate response was impossible. But I didn't have to say anything in response, because devotees are so well trained, they know how to respond to their own responses. Impossible. And I just sat patiently, and they said, but we'll try. And here we are. Some inconvenience, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the inconveniences that I undergo in serving you more, my Lord, are my greatest forms of happiness. Yesterday, we were guiding all of you on a meditational parikrama of Shri Giriraj. And do you remember where we left off? Aniyar. Now, tomorrow, beginning very early morning, we're going to be preparing boga to offer to Shri Giriraj. We'll bring the boga right, actually, to the lotus feet of Shri Giriraj and offer to Govardhan Mountain. And how many stoves are going to be set up? Can anyone tell me? There will be 150 stoves set up in a field. So it's a great celebration. And there'll be so much nice smoke from the wood of Vrindavan and the cow dung patties of Vrindavan that will purify our lungs and purify our eyes and purify our hearts. And then we'll take all of those offerings and offer them to Shri Giriraj. And we're doing this following in the footsteps of Krishna and the great acharyas, Madhavendra Puri, Sripad Balabhacharya. They offer this anukuta, mountains of bhoga, to Shri Giriraj. And we will be doing it in what is called Anakuta Kshetra, between Dhavan and Dhana Nivartan Kund and Shankarshan Kund. So going back to our parikrama, we come to Govinda Kund. Here, as we described on the day of Sri Govardhan Puja, after Indra, the most powerful deva in the region of Swargaloka, he received such special mercy from Krishna. Konteya prati janehi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna promises in the Gita. In fact, he tells Arjuna, you promise, I will protect my devotee. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna is the supreme father and mother of all living beings, and he especially takes concern for his devotees. How Krishna protects his devotee is not necessarily according to the order form that we may fill out. Krishna gives us what we need. If what we want is what we need, he may give us that too. Indra has a very, very powerful service. But like so many devotees historically, big or small, the more we gain prominence, the more we gain expertise, and people begin to honor us, the more we're vulnerable to the basic anartha of Maya, which is ahankar, the ego. To be humble, one has to really surrender. You see, the current of material existence is flowing very strongly toward the ocean of birth and death, ignorance. If we want to make spiritual progress, we have to swing upstream. If we just are sincere, Krishna tells in the Gita, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Yejana Paryupashate, that if you're just sincere to surrender in this upstream current, I will preserve whatever little you have, and whatever you lack, I will compensate. I will take you up. That is Pushti Marg. That is the path of grace. That is the basic principle of all the Vaishnav Sampradayas. That we are hopeless without grace. We can't connect to that grace and access that grace unless we humble ourselves. But sometimes the fruits of what we gain through practicing bhakti can distract us by making us proud. I'm a great devotee. And that's what happened to Indra. And Krishna organized this incredible pastime of taking all that was supposed to be offered to Indra, and it was going on for generations, and offering it to Govardhan Hill. Now, for the Brijabasis, whatever makes you happy, Krishna, that's all that matters. For all of us, it's the most incredible, blissful festival that has ever been performed. And in every temple of Krishna throughout the world for the last 5,000 years, there's dancing and singing and mountains and prasad celebrating Govardhan Puja. But for Indra, it was just the medicine he needed. First of all the anartas within his heart came out in front of everybody. This great king of heaven, who everyone thought was so cool and so self-realized and so spiritually advanced and so Atmarama, self-satisfied in so many ways. Krishna just knows exactly where the disease is. And he just went right there to that ego. And Indra lost his intelligence totally. He became like a madman. Destroy the cows, destroy the calves, destroy the peacocks, destroy the gopis and the gopas. This talkative little seven-year-old boy is disrupting my fame, my prestige, what is mine. And everyone was watching. Indra's a madman. And Krishna could have taken the form of a Virat Rupa. He could have done so many ways, but to totally crush into fine powder all the ego of Indra. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill as a child picks up a mushroom. I have seen even two-year-old little children pick up mushrooms. Yes? Effortlessly. That's how Krishna lifted Govardhan Mountain. And then he held it. What's the weakest part of your body? Your little finger. The tip of his little finger. For 7 days and seven nights. And Indra couldn't move a single grain of dust from the hill. Couldn't remove a single leaf from a tree. And Govardhan was in ecstasy being touched by the little finger of Krishna's left hand. He didn't even notice the storms and the lightning bolts crashing against him. And the animals on Govardhan Hill, even though the rains were pouring on it, the animals were happy and dancing around because Krishna was just energizing Giriraj so much that just being in contact with Giriraj, the animals on the mountain were happy and dancing, and they were just looking at the clouds. It was like a nice bath for them. Yes, Indra's pride was crushed. And there's a place around Govardhan Hill. We're going to skip ahead. Then we'll come back to Govindakund. Indra went back to his palace after being totally defeated. He couldn't talk to anyone. He couldn't eat. He couldn't sleep. He felt so miserable. He just made a total fool out of himself. And worse than that, he realized Krishna's my worshipable Lord, and I tried to destroy him. What a fool I am. This is the sign of a devotee. When you make a mistake, you don't try to justify it and make excuses about it. You learn from it. You become humble. Indra's a great devotee. He made a severe mistake. But Krishna transformed that mistake into a blissful 7 days where he and all the Brijabasis just performed beautiful, loving pastimes over Govardhan Hill, day and night. But Indra realized, I was so wrong. He was so repentant, but he didn't know what to do. So he went to his guru, Brihaspati. Brihaspati said, you are a fool, Indra. What did you do? There's nothing I can do for you except go to Lord Brahma. He can help you. Indra went to Lord Brahma. Brahma said, just recently, I also made some pretty serious mistakes. There's nothing I can do for you. But Surabhi, the mother of the cows, she loves Krishna with her gentle motherly affection, and Krishna loves her. If you want to be forgiven from your mistakes, you must go to those innocent, pure-hearted devotees who love Krishna. If she prays for Krishna to forgive you, then Krishna will forgive you. This is a very universal principle. Kaliya was very demoniac. He killed all the gopas. He killed Krishna's little calves, cows. He poisoned that lake near the Yamuna, and they drank it. And they died. And any bird, innocent little Brijavasi bird that flew over that lake, just the fumes of it, they fell in and died. And all the trees of Vrindavan around that lake were dying. He was really nasty, mean, horrible, demoniac person. And Krishna, he saw his little friends dead, and he glanced upon them and gave them life. That's very important. Spiritually, we are all dead. Because really, what is death? There's no such thing as death. For the body, it's always dead. It's the soul that gives life to it. And when the soul leaves the body, the soul's not dead. Basam sijanani yata vihaya, the soul goes on to another set of clothes. And the body just, the elements of earth, water, fire, air, and ether just merge into the universal elements. It's just a change. Death is an experience of forgetfulness. So yes, in this material world, we have forgotten our eternal lives. We have forgotten who we really are. So from a spiritual perspective, most everyone in this world are like the living dead. But how to wake up to our true life? When Krishna casts his glance upon us, the glance of his grace, he gives us our eternal, all blissful life again. And then Krishna jumped in the lake. He started swimming around. And he was just a little boy, but he was splashing in such a way that he was making big waves. And this Kaliya, who had many hoods, was a gigantic serpent. He couldn't tolerate who dares to enter my lake. So he came and attacked Krishna. He bit Krishna. And then he wrapped his coils around Krishna. Krishna's just a little cowherd boy. And Kali is a monstrous serpent. Now, when you walk around Govardhan at night, just when we were doing Govardhan Parikrama, my dear beloved friend Shyamdas Ji, who has come, let us welcome him, and Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj is here. Shyamdas Ji was telling Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj and myself how he and Mohan Ji, who is also here, our Brijavasi guru, how a black cobra crossed their path. Now, if a black cobra slithers right toward you, what is your emotion? Now, this is a cobra about this thick, maybe 2 inches thick, maybe 6 feet long. Just a little snake. But Kalia was a monstrous serpent who had the venom of millions of cobras. And he wrapped his coil around Krishna. And all the gopas and all the calves, cows, they were looking at Krishna in that helpless situation, and all they could do was fall unconscious. And Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj started seeing all kinds of inauspicious omens, and as soon as they saw that, they were thinking, what's happening to Krishna? And they came running out, and Balaram came with them, and they saw Krishna in the coils of Kalia. And Krishna made himself look so totally helpless. Just a sweet, innocent little child, helplessly in the coils of this monster that's breathing poison. And Yashoda Mai wanted to go in and fight against Kalia. But the gopis had to stop her. And then Nanda Maharaj and all the others wanted to jump in and either save Krishna or die. But they couldn't tolerate seeing Krishna in this situation. But Balaram stopped them all. Balaram said, when I come as Sheshanaga, Krishna doesn't play with me like this. What is the danger of Krishna from this insignificant, tiny little water snake? That was Balaram's perception. And after putting the Brijabasis in such intense anguish of worry and concern for Krishna, increasing their bhava, increasing their love. That's why Krishna does this. Because prema, bhava, is something that is dynamic. And Krishna puts us in situations, sometimes extremely pleasing situations, and sometimes extremely painful situations. But those painful situations are ecstatic because they increase the intensity of our absorption in our love for Krishna. These Brijabasis were so absorbed in such overflooding, uncontrollable feelings of love for Krishna, they were falling unconscious and getting up and falling unconscious and getting up and falling unconscious. And when they were on the verge of death, Krishna just expanded himself a little, slipped out of the coils, and danced on the hoods of Kalia, one at a time. And what a beautiful dance. Krishna's Vrindavan Natabara. He's the most graceful dancer of Vrindavan. Now, some of us, we like to dance, but sometimes there's some holes in the ground, and sometimes it's an uneven surface, or sometimes it's a hard floor, and we think, how could I dance here? But Krishna, nothing could limit his beautiful dance. He was dancing on these slippery hoods of Kalia. And even the dancing apsaras of the heavenly planets were coming down to learn how to dance from Krishna when he was dancing on Kalia. One head after, his feet are so soft that Yashoda Mai is in anguish during the day, thinking that Krishna's soft little lotus feet, if they step on a pebble or a thorn, it will make them change colors and cause him pain. They're softer than anything in all of creation. Krishna's lotus feet are the softest of all soft things, softer than fresh butter, softer than the most tender lotus leaf, softer than a very newly formed leaf from a tamal tree. So tender. And the gopis, they are feeling that if I put Krishna's lotus feet on the very softest part of my whole body, compared to his lotus feet, it's so hard it may cause him pain. That's how his feet are to his devotees. But yayata mam prabhajante, Krishna reveals himself according to how we approach him. To Kaliya, every time Krishna touched him with his feet, it was like a massive thunderbolt crashing against his head. To the Brijabasis and everyone else watching Krishna, he was going with his feet dancing, very sweet rhythm. I'm sorry about that. But to Kali, it was... It was crushing him. And one of his heads, all of the poison started... He was vomiting out all the poison. I'm not going to imitate that one. And then after all the poison's out, he starts vomiting blood. That one's not so bad. And then after he vomits all his blood, the head is just completely deflated of life, and it just falls. And then another head comes to attack Krishna, and Krishna jumps on that head and dances. Until all of the heads of Kaliya are devastated, crushed. And Kaliya's in a completely helpless condition. And he actually realizes that I'm finished. And for the first time in his entire life, he became humble. At that point, the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, who were great devotees of Krishna, they came with folded hands to offer prayers to Krishna. Their prayers were, "Our husband is such a mean, nasty, cruel person. We're your devotees, Krishna. When you were dancing on his head, we were thinking, yes, very good, let him die. Because then he'll be liberated. But now, for the first time in our lives, we're seeing that he's humble. He's actually looking at you to take shelter. So please give him your shelter. After all, he's a snake. And snakes are by nature envious like this. So he's just acting according to his nature. But by your mercy, the same beautiful purifying lotus feet that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and the goddess of fortune are always seeking to get shelter of, the greatest sages and rishis and yogis, they are yearning and longing, sometimes lifetimes of austerity, to even get a glimpse of your lotus feet. And those same lotus feet have been dancing incessantly on the head of our husband. He's become purified. He's become humble. Please give him your mercy, my Lord. And Kaliya listened to his wives. And Krishna turned to Kaliya, and Kaliya offered prayers of surrender to Krishna. What was his refuge? It was the prayers of the Nagapatnis, the prayers of these his wives, who were great devotees, that actually facilitated him to be totally forgiven for all of his misdeeds. And according to the Puranas, Kaliya was given such a high position. He had to leave Vrindavan. But sometimes instead of riding Garuda, Krishna rides Kaliya. He got to be Krishna's servant, eternal servant. In the story of Jagai and Madhai, they were murderers. thieves, they were burning houses, they were raping women, they were drunkards, they were slaughtering animals and drinking their blood and eating them. They were doing all kinds of things. They had no respect for anyone. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was standing before them with his Sudarshan Chakra about to sever their heads. And Lord Nityananda, who they just tried to beat to death, Lord Nityananda prayed to Lord Chaitanya, please, spare them. In other incarnations, we came to kill demons. But as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, we have not come to kill any demons. We have come to kill the demoniac tendencies in people and give them prema bhakti. By Nityananda's prayers, Jagai and Madhai were given Krishna prema, the highest perfection of life, where they could lovingly experience the spiritual world while chanting the holy names. Lord Brahma has been around from the beginning, and he'll be around till the end of the universe. He knows. And he told Indra, Surabhi, Krishna loves her, and she loves Krishna. If she prays for you, then Krishna will forgive you. This is an eternal principle. Srila Prabhupada, he would tell us that Srimati Radharani is not only the eternal loving consort of Krishna, his pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, but she's the mother, the loving mother of all living beings. And if we take shelter of Sri Radha in her motherly nature, by being the servant of the servant of her servants, with a sincere intent to improve ourselves and to please those who she loves, then Sri Radha will approach Krishna and say, please forgive this devotee for whatever he or she has done, and please accept this devotee as your own loving servant. Give this devotee your love. And Krishna must accept the will of Sri Radha. Srila Prabhupada asked us, or we asked him, what was our qualification for understanding the Leelas of Vrindavan? He said, you have no qualifications. He said, with all humility, he said, I made your qualifications. Because when we become the servant of the servant of the servant, Sri Radharani appeals for us, and Krishna must accept. This is the motherly aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we approach. When we chant this Maha Mantra, Hare is a call for Sri Radha, Hara. Krishna is Hari, who steals away all of the inauspiciousness from our hearts and then steals our hearts. Through the path of bhakti, the sour yogurt of our consciousness is churned. Through our sadhana, through our seva, it's churned into sweet butter. And then Hari, makanchor, steals our hearts. But Sri Radha's Hare, because she steals the heart of Krishna through her love. So first we approach Sri Radha, and when she is pleased, then Krishna naturally, spontaneously accepts us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So this principle Brahma understood. So here is Indra, the king of heaven, coming to this mother cow, begging for her mercy. And Mother Cow says, of course I will help you. Let's go to Brajbhumi. And there's a place called Surabhi Kund. We stopped for a few minutes there. I really wanted to speak, but I had a very sore throat. And I really wanted Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj, my very, very beloved senior god brother, to speak. But he was just so totally immersed and absorbed in some bhava of bhakti that he didn't speak. So Vishwaroop, he spoke so nicely. But it was there at Surabhi Kund that Surabhi approached Krishna. She told Indra, you stay and let me speak to Krishna. And with such sincere, loving heart of compassion to Indra, she knew what Indra tried to do to all of her children, the cows. She knew what Krishna tried to do, what Indra tried to do to her beloved Lord Krishna. But still, even though it was a very personal thing for her, what Indra tried to do to her beloved Lord, to her beloved descendants, the cows and the bulls and the calves, and to all of the devotees who she worships, like Nanda and Yashoda. But when she saw that Indra was repentant, with her heart, she appealed to Krishna to accept him. And Krishna accepted him. If a fallen soul thinks that we can approach Krishna directly, it's very difficult. Because really, there's so many walls of ego between us and Krishna that we don't even... The less we know about this ego is the evidence that there's more. Yes? When you're in total darkness, you don't see all the walls in front of you. As the light comes, you see more and more. There's so many walls. Indra realized, by the grace of Surabhi and Krishna, the light had shone, and he realized what he had done. So we must go through the Krishna's devotees to receive his grace. And then the doors to the highest liberation open. And then Krishna came and offered his prayers to Krishna. And Krishna listened, 7-year-old little boy. He told Indra, you know, don't do these things again. How many times? Indra wanted the whole universe to know that Krishna is my Lord. I am his humble servant. We want to perform the Abhishekam. And Surabhi said, we don't care about any other Indra but you, Krishna. You are our Indra. And it was at Govinda Kund that it was the official statement to the whole universe that Krishna is the supreme Lord of all lords. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Vayu, Varuna, Agni, Yamaraj, Kuvera, and everyone else, the Apsaras, the Gandharvas, the the various sages and the rishis and the wives of the sages and the rishis, they came with gifts to offer to Krishna. Sarabi, with her own milk and the milk of the Sarabi cow, she performed the abhishekam of bathing Krishna. And Airavata, the white elephant carrier of Indra, brought water from the Akash Ganga, the Ganga of the heavenly worlds, and bathed Krishna with that. There were 108 kuns from 108 prominent devatas with that water that washed Krishna around Govardhan Hill. Some of them are still there today. And they had beautiful aarti and beautiful thrones, and Krishna was coronated as Govinda. His eternal name in the spiritual world of Goloka descended through a divine voice proclaiming that Krishna is Govinda, one who gives the highest pleasure to the senses, to the cows, and to Mother Earth. And one who engages their love, their senses in the loving service of Krishna. Sarvopadiva nirmuttam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktirutam. By just engaging our senses in the service of the Supreme Lord of the senses, Rishikesh, we become completely purified. This was one of the greatest historical moments in the history of all time. And the water that collected from that abhishekam is Govinda Kund. And as all the devatas left, the little cowherd boys, they came and saw all this paraphernalia, and they just had fun. They put Balaram on the throne next to Krishna, and they started offering aartis and fanning him with heavenly chamaras, and they were having such fun. They were joking with Krishna. They didn't see him as God. They just saw him as a friend, and all this, they're little cowherd boys, and all this heavenly paraphernalia for worships all over the place. So for them, it was just play. And when the demigods looked and saw how the gopas were playing with Krishna, the intimacy, the sweetness of their love, the devatas and the sages and the rishis realized, in comparison, we have no love at all. This is Vrindavan. And then Nanda and Yashoda came, and they offer the aarti to Krishna in Vatsalya Ras, loving parental affection. That is Govinda Kund. And it's on the banks of Govinda Kund, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Madhavendra Puri was approached by a little cowherd boy and brought him some milk. He said, in this village of mine, Krishna was in disguise. He said, nobody goes hungry. Some people, they beg for food, and we supply them food. Some people are so humble, they don't even beg like you, so I've personally come to supply it. Because some of the neighboring ladies, these Brijabasis, were at a well close by. They were coming to Govinda Kund even to collect water. And they told me that you've been sitting here just chanting all day long without eating anything, so I've come to give you some milk. I'll come back to collect the pot. He drank the milk. And when he drank the milk, he became very intoxicated. It was very special milk. Not intoxicated like people like to get intoxicated. Intoxicated with love, with gratitude, with devotion. And then he chanted, and that little boy came back and revealed to him the deity of Gopal on the banks of Govinda Kund. And Shyamdas ji, from the literatures of the Sri Sampradaya, beautiful, beautiful stories of how Srinathji appeared. Srinathji's inconceivable, unlimited, and incredible, and can appear to many people in many ways. Especially, he's very, very great, empowered expansions and devotees. Not far from Govindakund is Chandra Sarovar. During the springtime, Krishna performs his Rasalila with Sri Radha and the Sakis and the Manjaris and the Gopis at Govardhan Hill. During the autumn season of Kartik, the Rasalila is in the Vrindavan area of Bamsivat. And during the spring season, at Govardhan. This Chandra Sarovar and many of the other Leelas and caves and kunds here and Sarovars of Govardhan are the intimate places where Krishna has the most loving exchanges with his gopis. And since Krishna appeared in the dynasty of Chandra, the moon, when the full moon rose, in order to facilitate Krishna and the gopis' loving lila, through his rays, filled Chandra Sarovar with nectar. The nectar of whose fragrance and taste was there simply to facilitate deeper, more pleasing experience of Rasalila. As Chandra, through his moonlight, through his nectar, participated. And it was there at Chandra Sarovar, where the Rasalila is eternally taking place, that the great Vaishnav poet Suradas performed his bhajan and wrote so many of his beautiful prayers. Not far from there is a place called Paita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita a wonderful lila that took place there. At one time during the Rasalila, Krishna left Sri Radha and gopis and was hiding from them. Sambhog and Vipralamba, the dynamics of prema or love. That when there's the meeting, it intensifies the experience of the love, the prema. And in separation, it only intensifies it more. And in that separation, when there's again meeting, it intensifies it. So this Sambhog and Vipralamba, the two are constantly in Vrindavan, harmonizing each other to heighten the experience of the ananda, the ecstasy of Krishna and all of the devotees. So Krishna was hiding, and the gopis were searching for him, and they found him. They saw him. He was sitting near Paita under a tree, and Krishna, he was right there. So as they was running toward him, he manifested his form of four-arm Narayan. And the gopis, seeing that it was Narayan, the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of all lords, who's the source of everything that exists, who is the controller of all controllers, they were disappointed. Because you can't have Rasalila with Narayan. Did you ever see any paintings of girls dancing with four-arm Narayan? That's not his, it's not his bhava. So the gopis They bowed down to Lord Narayan. They bowed down, and Narayan said, I will give you whatever blessing you want. What blessing do you want? Because he's Varadraj. He's the giver of blessings. They said, there's only one blessing we wish from you. Please tell us which way Krishna went. So Narayan, with his four hands, he went this way. So gopis ran that way, looking for Krishna. They didn't care anything for Narayan. Because this Aishwarya bhava, the bhava of loving God because of his supreme, majestic, controlling, ruling power of the source of all universes, the king of all spiritual worlds. From the perspective of Vrindavan bhakti, it cripples the relationship. In Vrindavan, Raghunath Das Goswami writes that Krishna is pleased when saints and pure devotees are chanting hymns in glorification of the Supreme Lord from the Vedas. But Krishna feels 10 million times more pleasure than hearing the Vedic hymns chanted by completely pure-hearted saintly rishis and devas. 10 million times more when the Brijabasi ladies chastise him with harsh words. That is Vrindavan. This is the secret of the highest, most intimate revelations of all the great scriptures of the world. So the gopis know who Narayan is. They love him as the Supreme Lord. But their only real desire is to give pleasure to Krishna, who's their lover and their friend. So they ran looking for Krishna. And then Sri Radharani came. And she asked Narayan, he said, what blessing would you like? And she said, please tell me where Krishna is. And looking at Sri Radharani and feeling the love of her heart, Krishna is conquered by love. Krishna tried to maintain that disguise, but in the presence of Srimati Radharani, two of his arms with the conch shell and the lotus and the club and the chakra, they just melted away. And his flute appeared in his hands. Conquered by Sri Radha's love. And then he continued the beautiful Ras Leela in Govardhan Hill in the moonlit nights. There's a temple a little bit on the hill of Doka Dauji. And this is a murti of Lord Balaramji. Because he was wandering around Govardhan Hill and he happened to be looking over from this particular place toward Chandra Sarovar and the Rasa Stali. And he saw the beautiful dancing of Radha and Gopis and Krishna. And he became so stunned. He crouched down in a special crouching position and just watched. And he was so absolutely, totally absorbed in loving feelings, mesmerized by seeing Krishna's beautiful dance in his absorption in seeing Krishna and meditating on Krishna and loving Krishna, his beautiful white complexion, which is like a spring cloud, became dark like a monsoon cloud. In his absorption in Krishna, he took on the same complexion of Krishna. And he is squatting in that little temple of Dokajauji even today, watching the eternal Leela of Sri Krishna. As we move further in our parikrama, we pass by Shankarshan Kund, which is dedicated to Sri Balaramji, who expands himself as the whole Braj Bhumi to facilitate the loving pastimes of Krishna and all the devotees. Then we come to Apsara Kund. And close to Apsara Kund is Punjari Kund or Navala Kund. According to Puranas, we read that 24 of the incarnations or avatars of Krishna, like Matsya, Varaha, Narasingha, Ramchandra, they are eternally performing pastimes on the banks of Apsara Kund. In fact, when Krishna would herd his cows on Giriraj with his little friends, the gopas, on the banks of Apsara Kund, he would reveal to them his different incarnations just to give them happiness. And still, even though they're seeing Krishna become Varahadev, they're seeing Krishna become all these different avatars and playing these different leelas, instead of worshiping him as God himself, they just played with him in these forms. Krishna took the form of Ram to build the bridge across the Indian Ocean in the form of Apsara Kund, and the little gopas all took the forms and the moods of monkeys, and they were all helping Krishna in the form of Ram, and Balaram became Lakshman to make this beautiful bridge. And when Krishna would be with the gopis during the Rasa Leela, it is described that in the gopis' ecstasy of love for Krishna, Sri Radha and gopis, their bodies are not material. Their bodies are actually manifestations of prema. This is a very, very mystical understanding of the highest truths of the spiritual world. Brahma Samhita tells Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha, that Krishna, who is the supreme controller of all controllers, his body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. In the material world, the body and the soul are different. The soul is just residing within a particular body made out of the 8 material elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ahankar, ego. But in the spiritual world, the body and the soul are non-different. The body is the manifestation which facilitates the love of the soul. It is the love. It is the form of the soul, of the love of that person. So the gopis, in their love for Krishna, in the Ras Leela, sometimes their hearts would melt in such deep ecstasy of love that their bodies would melt as well. And in reciprocation, Krishna, as his heart melted, his body also melted into rasa. Sara and rasa. And the gopis' love filled Apsarakund, and Krishna's love filled Navalakund. And when we go to these places, just by seeing them, just by offering our prayers and our devotion, by sprinkling some drops of water or by bathing, we are literally becoming sanctified, purified, and blessed by the supreme prema of Radha, Krishna, and the gopis as they are eternally performing their rasa lila on the aprakata platform, the eternal platform on the banks of Navala and Apsarakund. Our acharyas tell us that Giriraj Govardhan is shaped like a peacock. And there are different explanations by different acharyas of which parts of the peacocks there are. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the face of Govardhan is Kusum Srovar. The eyes are Radhakund, Shamakund. The neck is Dangati. The tail is Navalakund Punchari. As we carry on, we pass by in the temple of Lord Narasingha Dev. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us how Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship Narasingha Dev. Hiranyakashipu was a great obstacle for Prahlad Maharaj and for the whole world. But the Hiranyakashipu of anartas, which are the greatest, anartas means our own selfish, egoistic desires, the envy of the heart. We pray to Lord Narasingha Dev to remove those impediments so that the natural flow of Braj Bhakti can be offered to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So we pass Narasingha Dev's mandir on a little hill, and we come to Punchari Kalota Baba, very popular temple in Vrindavan. Did all of you have darshan of Sri Lota Punchari Kalota Baba during the parikrama? Lota Baba is a cowherd boy from the Govardhan area. And one day he cooked bhoga for Krishna and Balaram and was waiting for Krishna and Balaram to come to offer. But on that particular day, Krishna and Balaram were with Akrura going to Mathura. Lota Baba said, "I've prepared prasad for you. Please have my prasad." And Krishna said, I will return the day after tomorrow. And Lota Baba said, "I will not eat anything, I will not drink anything until you return. I will be sitting right here without moving." And he's still sitting there without moving, waiting for Krishna to return. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he expressed the nature of love and separation. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. That, my dear Lord, feeling separation from you, a single moment seems like 12 years or more. And without the beautiful vision of you, Govinda, this entire jagat, this entire universe, is nothing but a dreary void. This is love and separation. And our acharyas tell us that this is the highest ecstasy because it's the most intensified form of love. Lota Baba taught us patience. Now, as you can tell, sometimes I kind of wander off the direct parikrama path in the form of the stories I'm telling. But what to do? Where my heart guides me, my mouth somehow or other speaks like that. So please forgive me. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Mukunda Dutt. It's a long story, but our Lord Gauranga was giving all blessings and benedictions and darshans to all of his devotees, except Mukunda. Because the Lord did not approve of certain things that Mukunda was doing, how he was associating with people. And the devotees, even though all of their devotees, all of their desires were fulfilled, to Murari Gupta, who is an avatar of Hanuman, Lord Chaitanya revealed himself as Ram. And Murari saw next to Ram was Sita and Lakshman. And then Murari saw that he himself had a tail. And he realized, I'm Hanuman. To Kolavecha Sridhar, he manifested himself as Krishna Balaram. Everyone was so happy. But the nature of a devotee is paradukaduki. Devotees love each other. And another person receiving mercy is at least as important to myself as getting mercy myself. There was an unlimited monsoon downpour of mercy pouring upon all the devotees. But not even a drop was touching Mukunda. So Srivas, he begged Lord Chaitanya, why don't you give your mercy to Mukunda? Punish him, do anything, but don't ignore him. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want to see the face of that man. And Mukunda heard this, and he was afraid to come before the Lord. He was weeping and crying. His heart was totally crushed, and he cried out, will I ever, ever be able to see the Lord? And Srivas said, Mukunda, what has he done when he sings kirtan? He brings so much life and so much happiness to all of our hearts, even you, my Lord. What has he done? Will he ever get to see you again? And the Lord said in a very thunderous voice, he will see me only after 10 million births. And when Mukunda heard this, he became ecstatic. He started dancing and crying in joy. In only 10 million births, I will get to see the Lord again. And when the Lord saw what is the nature of his love, sometimes we take things so cheaply. We've been chanting some japa, doing some kirtan, doing some puja, mudra, yantra, mantra, tantra for maybe 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. We may live to 50 years. And we're thinking, why am I not seeing Krishna? What is this bhakti? I've given up so much. I've done so much. Things are not going my way, and I'm not seeing Krishna. Rupa Goswami tells, What are the qualities of Sharanagati, surrender? Enthusiasm and patience. One without the other will not be successful. If we're just patient, we don't get anywhere. If we're just enthusiastic, then when we don't get what we want when we want it, we lose hope, we become discouraged, or we lose faith, and we give up. Krishna, I've done so much for you. What are you going to do for me? This is not bhakti. Ashlisyava padaratam panashtu mama darshanam. Lord Chaitanya in his shikshastakam taught. What is surrender? My Lord, if you want, you can embrace me. My Lord, if you want, you can trample on me. My Lord, if you want, you can make me heartbroken by not being present before me. You are free to deal with me in any way you want, because I am your servant unconditionally. This is bhakti. Mukunda was dancing. Only 10 million births. What a small price to see the Lord. And he was so happy. Lord Chaitanya saw his happiness. He said, bring him immediately. And the devotees went to Mukunda and said, the Lord wants you to show himself to you now. And Mukunda was so much in the trance of the happiness that in only 10 million births he was going to get the opportunity to see the Lord. He was not in this world. He was just dancing, Hare Krishna, and only 10 million births, Hare Krishna, only 10 million births. No, now, only 10 million births. Come on, please, only 10 million births. And they had to pick him up and put him right in front of the Lord, and the Lord revealed his darshan. And Sri Chaitanya said to Mukunda Dutt, I wanted to show the world the quality of your devotion. And Mukunda, he was so humble, he offered prayers. He said, I have no devotion. What is the use of my seeing you? Kamsa saw you, but he wasn't happy. Hiranyakashipu saw you, but he wasn't happy. Hiranyaksha saw you, but he wasn't happy. Shishupal saw you, but he wasn't happy. Our goal is not to see you, Lord. Our goal is to please you by our love. Kubja, that simple flower, that little simple hunchback woman, she saw you and became happy. Sudama, the florist, he saw you and became happy. Why Kamsa had no happiness? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Param Guru, told us, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna so that Krishna is pleased to see you. Lota Baba, his love, the intensity of his love. 5,000 years, he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, he just waits for Krishna. And whatever you offer him, he just keeps it for Krishna. And the Brijabasis consider him none different than Hanuman, because that's the same spirit of Hanuman. Everything and anything for Ram. And Krishna, he will reveal himself to us when, with love, we sincerely cry out his holy name. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. whether Krishna wants to reveal himself today, or in one birth, or two births, or 10 million births, doesn't matter. Our love is we will go on chanting, go on hearing Shravanam Kirtanam, and go on doing Sevanam service for Krishna's pleasure. If he wants me in this material world, if he wants me in hell, if he wants me in heaven, if he wants me in Vaikuntha, and if he wants me in Goloka Vrindavan, I'm happy to serve anywhere. That is our prayer. The gopis in Raslila, they showed such surrender. When Krishna played the fifth hole of the flute Bamsi, under the Bamsiva tree, or here at Rasa Stali at Govardhan, the gopis, they didn't consider anything. Just as Nanda and Yashoda and the cowherd men and ladies, they were willing to risk everything to please Krishna by offering Indra's puja to Govardhan. On an even higher and deeper level, the gopis left their homes, left their families, left their reputations, went into the middle of the night, into the jungle, just to give pleasure to Krishna. Sharanagati. And that beautiful story. Krishna had a headache. And he told Narada Muni, get the dust of the feet of the gopis to apply to my head. They collected their dust and said, bring it, bring it. And Narada Muni said, don't you know what's going to happen for putting your feet on Krishna's head? The gopis said, yes, of course. If we have to go to hell for the rest of eternity, that will be our greatest happiness, if it gives even one moment of relief for Krishna from his headache. This is not just figurative poetry. This is the nature of the selfless love of the gopis. So we pray to Punchari Kalota Baba for this love, surrender with enthusiasm, patience. And we carry on and we come to the Manikundali cave of Raghava Pandit. According to the Gorgona Dashtipika, Raghava Pandit is Champaklata, one of the 8 Sakhi maidservants of Sri Radharani in the eternal Leela. And he was very, very best friends with Raghunath Das Goswami, who was living at Radha Kund. And there, in this little cave, he would perform his bhajan, meditating on Krishna's loving lila in the core of his heart, and constantly participating in the eternal lila of the Lord as he chanted the holy names.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Golokira Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. That this Krishna Nam, this Maha Mantra, it has descended from the spiritual world of Goloka. Just as Vrindavan has descended into Goloka to Gokula, just as Radha Krishna's eternal lilas descend here, Krishna's holy name. In the name of Krishna and Sri Radha, we could realize and have direct experience of their eternal forms, their qualities, their characteristics, their pastimes, their dham, their abode. And it's also revealed to us our eternal pastimes within that lila. Everything can be revealed through the two syllables, Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, they stayed with Raghava Pandit in his cave near Punchuri. And he, Raghava Pandit, took them on Govardhan Parikrama and Parikrama of the entire Braj Mandala. And that has been recorded in the Bhakti Ratnakar. We go a little further and we find the place where the Surabhi Kund, and then we carry on to Rudra Kund, where it is said Lord Shiva, in his ecstasy of seeing the beautiful pastimes of Radha Krishna pass, cried torrents of tears to fill that lake. And then we approach Jatipura. And we are so fortunate we have a resident of Jatipura here tonight. Shamdas Ji, Hari Hari. From the Gaudiya Sampradaya's perspective, on the hill just above Jatipura is where the temple of Gopal or Srinathji was. And Madhavendra Puri lived there at Jatipur. In the Pushti Barg, Sripad Ballabhacharya has his baitak, where the Mukharavinda of the mouth of Govardhan is present. And I think the day before yesterday, we saw how hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilos of milk is offered every day. I remember the first time I did Govardhan Parikrama. This was in 1971. It was a very, very happy but shocking experience for me. Because I come from Illinois, which is a state of America in the Midwest. And Midwest people are considered in America to be quite simple and conservative type people. At least this is what West Coast people are considered really wild. And East Coast people are considered very, very expert at whatever they do. And Midwest people like me, we're kind of like, you know, grow corn and stuff like that. Simple people. So anyways, I took this Govardhan Parikrama and I got to Jatipuram. And there were people just pouring and pouring and pouring constantly milk, hundreds of hundreds and hundreds of kilos. I was just standing there watching. And then I would go down the street. This is in 1971. The gutters, you know what gutters are? What's the word in Hindi for gutter? Huh? Dali? Nali. The nali. Where, you know, usually the sewage flows and the water flows and on the side of the road. In America, first of all, you don't have sewage flowing in the side of the road. It is all meticulously, immaculately happening underground. You never see anyone in America accidentally stepping into a sewage nully. Yes? Because it's all underground. Very high, sophisticated sanitation system. But here, it's right on the side of the road with all of its colors and fragrances. And you really have to watch how you walk. But anyways, I had already been traveling around India for over a year. So I was very accustomed to these nullies on the side of the road, of all gutters and sewage and all other stuff creeping. And I don't want to go too off the parikrama path. But I just remember one time, not one time, I remember so many times, but I'm going to tell you one time where there was just thick, foamy, black sewage flowing in this nully, this gutter, and it smelled so disgusting. And I had to walk along this gutter, and then I saw this family of hogs, a mother and about 5 or 6 little baby hogs. Baby hogs look really sweet, actually. Somehow or other, anything that's small is kind of sweet in this world. The mothers, you have to be a male hog to appreciate. But even a human can appreciate the babies. Anyways, this mother, she dove right into this sewage, and the little hoglets dove in after her, and they were gulping it. And they were swimming, and she was spraying it on them, and they were spraying on each other, and they were just having such a good time drinking, and nectar was all over their bodies, and they came out, and then some of the little hoglets were licking the sewage off the hairs of their mother because they just wanted more. Why did I tell that story? I guess I told it just so that the contrast between the material world and spiritual world is more graphic. So here I am at Jatipura, my first Giriraj Parikrama. And I'm just seeing this Abhishek going on for about an hour. I was standing there watching this Abhishek. I was mystified at Jatipura. And then as I'm going down the street, I saw the gutters filled with milk, which was coming off Giriraj. They were bathing the Shila, and some of that were catching right there, but most of it was just coming right down into the gutters and flowing. And I was thinking, this is opulence. Pure Brijabasi cow milk is flowing through the sewage canals. Even in Indra Loka, you don't get such wealth like this. And just then to confirm the happiness of my heart, I saw Brijabasis with their little lotas and pots scooping up the milk from the nullies, the gutters, and drinking it. Nothing like those hogs. They were actually drinking nectar. Because they were saying, this is Charanamrit. Gutters of Charanamrit. Drinking and drinking and drinking. And believe it or not, I didn't have a lota. But I got down with my hands. I realized I'm 10,000 miles away from those cornfields in Illinois. And drank that milk from the gutters of Jatipura. And it was nectar, the nectar of Charanamrit. On this, just at Mukharavinda, is the Samadhi Mandir of Vitalnath, the eldest son of Sripad Ballabhacharya, who was great, great pujari of Srinathji, who was very, very great Vaishnavacharya. And according to Gaudiya Vaishnav literatures, he and the Gaudiya Acharyas at the time were intimate, loving, best friends. who shared their love and their devotion in so many ways. And then just across from Mukharavinda is a baitak of Sripad Ballabhacharya. And Shyamdasji, were you saying that that one Shila, that you, Dandavat Shila, if you go around that Shila seven times with devotion and offer your Dandavat Pranams, all the offenses that you've committed during Govardhan Parikrama, in fact, you get the credit of performing the full Govardhan Parikrama just by doing that. And Shyamdasji, would you like to tell us something about that Shila? Come.
Maharaj, this is too much.
Let us welcome Shyamdasji to our yatra.
Jai Sri Krishna. Yeah. It is a great honor to be here, to see all these bhaktas, to listen to the Vachinamrit, the Tavakatamritam Tapta Jivanam of Sri Sri Radhanath Maharaj Ki Jai Ho. I am overwhelmed by the beauty of the whole situation. It's as if the 40 years of my residence on this sacred hill has finally blossomed by having the darshan of all of you amazing people. Ye hamara Charlie Salka jo maine Brajvas kiya hai, ye aaj hi humko fully boot mil gaya hai, darshan matra, ye sab katamrit sunne se. So I will stick to English. So that Dandavati Shila, as we hear, it's Dandavati. It's Dandavat, which means to bow, which means to take your head and to place it humbly on the sands of the Govardhan Hill, Tereti, as it's called, the land that is surrounding this most sacred of places where the spring Ras Lila has taken place. This Dandavat, where you literally become Danda or Vat, you become like a stick, Danda and Vat, like. And what does a stick do? If you put it up, if you stand it up, it falls straight down. And that's the swabhava, that is the nature of the bhakta. The bhakta is always bowing down to everything, especially here in Braj. Jojo vastu brajame so sab bhagavad rup. Everything that is in this sacred land of Braj, whether it be the trees on the Govardhan Hill that are enlightened rishis from another age who have decided that they would become stitta, they would become established here on the Govardhan Hill so that they could behold the Nitya Lila of Lord Krishna. And so on that Dandavati Shila, which is the Shila itself, represents two things. Not only is it Haridas Varya, which means it's the best of all the Haridas followers, but the Govardhan Hill is also the form of the Lord himself. And so this dvitalatmik sarup, these two divine forms existing simultaneously within a single substance that is represented in the Shila. It's not represented, it is the thing itself. The Giriraj Shilas present to us the perfect form of being a bhakta, as well as the form of Krishna himself. And so by doing seven parikramas, encirclings around this sacred stone, the Shila, one receives, as Maharaj has explained, not only is one purified, but one has attained the fruit of walking around the sacred hill. And what's interesting is that in the Bhakti Marga, we are not interested in Swarga. We are not interested in Mukti. We are not interested in Bhukti. nor do we have any hankering for any sort of siddhis, as Maharaj Sri has been explaining to us, that we desire the seva of Bhagavan. We desire to please the Blessed One. So in circling this Shila seven times, we receive the fruit of being a das. Not only of being a das, but being a das, anudas, anudas, anudas. And I know of no greater reward than to serve the threefold sarup of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. To be the anudas, to be the follower of the bhakta, to take the dust of this most sacred realm and to put it upon our heads. And so I will not take much of your time. There's a very famous pada, and it goes like this. Tareti Sri Govardhan Meireye Nitaprati Madana Gopala Lalake Charana Kamala Chitaleye Tanapulakita Braja Rajame Lotata Govinda Govinda Kundame Neye Rasika Pritama Hitachitiki Bate Giridari Sokeye. The translation is Govardhan Meireye Tareti Sri. Let me somehow. I myself spend 6-7 months wandering in the West, teaching, living there. I consider the fruit of anything that I have done there is that I could stay here for 5 minutes. So Tareti Sri Govardhan Meireye, reside by the side of this Govardhan Hill. If you can't stay here more than 5 or 6 days, you can always reside here by doing the Mansi Seva, by doing the inner contemplation of these rare moments that we have spent here. So Tareti Sri Govardhan Meireye, remain here by the Haridas Varya, by the Sarupa of Krishna himself. Nitya Prati Madana Gopala Lalake Charana Kamala Chitaleye, so that every moment of my life, my chit, that my consciousness will become Krishna-fied, that I will become Krishna-conscious. Nitya Prati Madana Gopala Lalake Charana Kamal. I want to remain by those lotus feet. That is where my mind should remain, so that I can stay in the Sharagati mode of being enthusiastic and patient. Well, I learned so much today. I understood what Sharagati is today, because Sharagati is not passive. Like, oh, I am under your shelter. Sort of like someone's being held up with a gun. That is not Sharagati. Sharagati has enthusiasm in it. That is always increasing every moment. It has patience. What a brilliant explanation. So Charana Kamala Chitaleye, and then the result of that, Tanapulakita Brajarajame Lotata, matlab hai ki iski jo bhakti ka jo apne bhajan kiya, is bhakti bhav apne prabhu ko samarpan kiya hai, iski, there has to be a result. And the result is Tanapulakit. The body bristles with joy, as they call it, romancha. Every pore of the body then becomes Krishnified. Tanapulakita braja rajame lotat. And then what do? You fall down on the ground and you roll around in a heightened, maddened state. Ikdam must ho gaya braja rajame lotat apne Krishna ka yad karke aur sab vastu ko bhul jana yako nam nirod. Prapanch vismriti evam bhagavat asakti sab bekar vastu ko bhul jana aur jo mool tattva ko yad karna. To forget everything that is unrelated and to be completely absorbed in the rus of Krishna, that is the reward. It is anayasa, it is effortless. Braja rajame lotata, and then what do? Govinda kundame neye. And then I take a bath in the Govind lake, where I absorb more of that rus. It's like wherever you look, it is just Krishna. Age Krishna, Pache Krishna, Itta Krishna, Utta Krishna, Jitta Deko, Itta Krishna Mai. To the right, to the left, up, down, everywhere in this land of Braj. Yesab Bhagavad Rup. It is all the forms of the Blessed Lord. Rasika Pritama Hitta Chitta Ki Bhate, says Hariraji, who was a great acharya in the Pushtimurya line, who wrote copious text on Braj. Rasika Pritam, he says, to this beloved Rasik, to the supreme connoisseur of all moods, Sri Krishna, Rasika Pritama Hita Chitta Ki Bate. I am going to have dialogue with this Supreme Being. Hita Chitta Ki Bate, that will create more seva so that I will be able to serve better. And I will tell to that Blessed One directly, Hita Chitta Ki Bate, Giridari Sokeye. I will speak directly to Giridhar, who held the mountain to support and protect his bhaktas, to lead them from any extraneous ashrayas, taking their minds and pulling all of their minds and hearts directly to him without any effort through the lila itself. So I have transgressed in speaking for too long. I truly want to listen to Maharaj's Vachanamrita, but I feel very honored that I was given a space to speak a bit about Dandavati Shila and the glories of the Govardhan Hill. Jai Jai Sri Shyam.
That was an experience like bathing in Govinda Kund 108 times. And doing 7 million parikramas around Dandavati Shila. Should we end here? Usually when I ask that question, it means I'm not ready to end yet. But it means a little more patience. And then we will perform Nam Sankirtan. From Jatipuram, we carry on a beautiful forest. On our right side is magnificent, munificent darshan of Sri Giriraj. And we come to Uddhava Kund. After Lord Krishna departed from this planet, after putting a close to his lila, the queens of Krishna from Dwarka, how to live in separation, they came to Vrindavan, to Mathura, Mathura and the Yamuna. And Yamuna Devi explained how when Krishna left with Akrura for Mathura, Sri Radha and Gopis were in such unbearable anguish of love and separation. And Krishna sent Uddhava, his closest, dearmost friend from Mathura and later Dwarka, for two reasons, essentially. One, to pacify the gopis' hearts with his message. And also, so that Uddhava himself could understand the supermost nature of the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Our beloved senior godbrother, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, was telling us the other day that there are three primary examples of Haridas Bharya. Maharaj Yudhisthira, Uddhavaji, and Shri Giriraj. And of the three, Giriraj, according to Sri Radha and the gopis, is the greatest devotee of Krishna, who gives the highest pleasure to the Lord. Because of Uddhava's intimate, loving relationship with Krishna, he was practically his constant companion in almost any issue. Krishna would consult Uddhava and take his words very seriously. They would often sit together, relax together, eat together, go to the royal assemblies together, take walks together. They were best of friends. Krishna wanted to reveal to Uddhava the deepest devotion. So he sent him with a message to the Brijvasis. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan, he met with Nanda Maharaj, and he saw Yashoda Mai and the cowherd men and the cowherd boys and the gopis. It was inconceivable. Practically 24 hours a day, they were just weeping in love, crying out Krishna's names, discussing Krishna's beautiful leelas. They were keeping each other alive by reminding each other of Krishna. Sri Radharani, she would weep such incessant tears near Uddhava Kyari, where he met them in Nandagaon. Such tears, she would make a big puddle on the ground, then she would fall into that puddle in a faint, and the fever of her love and separation would immediately dry up the water. When Uddhava saw the nature of their love, he came to the conclusion that in comparison, I have no love for Krishna. In comparison, even the greatest bhaktas of Vaikuntha, and higher than Vaikuntha, Mathura and Dwarka, our love is practically formality compared to the depths of the intensity of the ecstasy of the love of any of the residents of Vrindavan. He saw some of the cowherd boys practically standing like statues, just waiting for Krishna to come, constantly chanting his names and leelas. And Nanda and Yashoda, all they could do is ask about Krishna in such depths of separation. Uddhava said, Nanda Maharaj, there is no one more fortunate than you. And Nanda said, what, you small, immature child, are you saying? You call us fortunate? If a poor person starving in poverty gains a priceless jewel and doesn't understand the value of that jewel, and due to that neglect loses it, that person is not fortunate. That person is most unfortunate. We had the most precious of all jewels, but we didn't appreciate, but now we lost him. We are the most unfortunate. What could Uddhava say? He just wanted to take the dust of the feet of Nanda Maharaj on his head And at Udavakyari, where he met Sri Radha and gopis, where the Brahma Gita was spoken, Srimati Radharani, in the ecstasy of her love, she saw a black bumblebee and considered it a message of Krishna and was revealing the nature of the heart of her love to that bumblebee. And when Uddhava witnessed this, he prayed millions of times higher service to Krishna than I could do as his most intimate associate in Mathura. Is to take the dust of the feet of the gopas and the gopis of Vrindavan on my head. But Uddhava was a royal prince, direct disciple of Brihaspati, best friend of Lord Krishna. It would be so embarrassing to the gopis as simple cowherd girls if such a person were to take dust from their feet. Uddhava Kund, Uddhava, he performed tapasya and prayer so that he could take birth as a little creeper coming out of the ground, a clump of grass, so that the gopis or even the maid servants of the gopis would place their feet on his head, knowing that unless we get the blessings and the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, we cannot develop that love. This was his highest ambition and greatest treasure. And on the banks of Kusum Sarovar, just across from Uddhava Kund, there is the Uddhava Baitak, where Vajranab, the great grandson of Lord Krishna, installed the murti of Uddhava. And in that place, in that area near Kusum Sarovar's banks, Uddhava's prayer was fulfilled. He is eternally residing as a gulmalata, a simple patch of grass, where he's meditating on the beautiful leelas of Radha and Krishna and receiving the dust of the feet of the gopis and the gopas on his head. When the queens heard how Uddhava pacified the gopis in his visit, they were directed to that place and they performed Nam Kirtan along with Bajranab very loudly in great ecstasy. They understood that Uddhava would reveal himself if with pure unalloyed love and devotion they chant Krishna and Radha's holy names. It was very deep. It was of the highest urgency. It was life or death. This was the spirit in which they raised their arms and called out the holy names. From the blade of grass, the gulmalata, vroom, Uddhava appeared. And for 30 days spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. And at the culmination, because the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam is that we could remove all of our past sins and we can attain the ultimate perfection of life by simply chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. He mesmerized them with his loving explanation of Krishna's lilas. And at the conclusion, Krishna personally appeared before all of them, completely fulfilling all of their desires, conquering their hearts, and Krishna took them all back home, back to Godhead. These are some of the pastimes that took place at Uddhava Kund. And tomorrow we will discuss Sri Radha Kund and continue our Govardhan Parikrama. In Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, in Jagannath Puri, in the Gambira, when he was experiencing Sri Radha's love and separation from Lord Govinda, his intimate associates, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, they would constantly sing beautiful kirtans, recite beautiful pastimes, Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. On a personal level, this was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deepest contribution to show the world the nature of Radha's love for Krishna. And he shared that kirtan with the world. Shikshastakam, the eight prayers, they sprung from the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that most intimate, deepest state of Mahabhava. And our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he took such risks. To make that, in the mood of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, to make that mercy accessible to everyone and anyone. And it is by that grace that we are all assembled together to open our ears and open our hearts to hear these beautiful pastimes of Sri Giriraj. And now we will celebrate by joyously. When I speak joyously, for a devotee to give joy to each other is Govardhan's example of how to give joy to Krishna. We may feel tired. We may still have sore feet from our parikrama, and we may be coughing all sorts of holy, sacred, sanctified dust. Such opulence. The demigods, to get a speck of dust of brudge on their heads is something that's almost unattainable. And we have it all over our heads and all over our bodies and deeply rooted in our lungs. It's like drowning in nectar. But Giriraj is teaching us that by inspiring other devotees, by facilitating other people to love Krishna and to serve Krishna, is the greatest way that we can give pleasure to Krishna. In kirtan, we are enthusiastic. Not because I feel enthusiastic, but because I'm going to be enthusiastic. If I feel like it, that's fantastic. And if I don't feel like it, that's also fantastic. To inspire everyone else, to serve everyone else. Let me loudly chant the holy names. Let me sincerely vibrate with all my heart, calling out for Krishna's blessings to shower upon all of us. This is Sankirtan. Together. We are all chanting for each other and for the whole world. Thank you very, very much. Yadubar Prabhu, would you like to lead kirtan? Please come.